Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, hello, friends. At NCC, we are spending our summer focused on the life of Jesus. We're not just talking about who Jesus was or what He did. We are focusing on how Jesus showed us to live. Here's something we should never, ever forget. We experience salvation through the finished work of Jesus, but we experience life transformation through the continued work of Jesus in our lives. Romans 8:11 tells us that if we have confessed Jesus as Savior, if we are following Him, then the same Spirit that raised a completely dead Jesus is on the inside of us. Sometimes I think we gloss over that truth a little bit, but let's just think about it. Jesus was not taking a nap. He was not on a staycation in the tomb. He was not taking a time out. Jesus was completely dead. He was breathless. His brain was not functioning. He was lifeless. And then at just the right time, the Spirit of God rushed into His dead body and He was alive again. That's the power that's on the inside of us. Therefore, what is seen in Jesus should be seen in us. We have the same Spirit. We have the same power. So we should see the same fruit in our lives. And what fruit is that, you ask? Let's see in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. This is the Apostle Paul writing, a pioneer and leader in the early church. And he says, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Over the last few weeks, we have heard some amazing messages on these characteristics and behaviors. And if you haven't heard them, I encourage you this week to go back, listen to them, take notes. We've heard about love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. And today we're going to talk about goodness. Goodness. If there are two words that we misuse and overuse that are listed here in Galatians 5, they are the words love and good. We say good morning. We say good night. We say goodbye. We say good grief. We call each other goody two shoes. We eat Mr. Good bars. We watch Goodfellas. And if you've ever watched that movie, you know we're using that word wrong. We say that things are too good to be true. Sounds good. I'm good. You good? We good? Goodness gracious. Because we misuse this word, I want to remind us that the words contained in these verses are not your ordinary run-of-the-mill versions of these words. They proceed from the Spirit of God Himself, so they all have a supernatural component. Let's define this word goodness as it appears in this verse. First thing I want you to know about this word goodness is that it only appears 4 times in the New Testament. One place I read said that it does not seem to appear at all in secular Greek writings. Here's something you need to know about the Apostle Paul. He's a lot like our very own Pastor Philip Dease. The Apostle Paul likes to make up words. And that's exactly what he's doing in this instance. He takes one of the Greek words for good, and he adds a little something, something on the end. Here's how it could be defined. Goodness. To do good. Not to be good, to do good. Another way you could define it is by the word beneficence. You know, beneficence isn't a word that we use every day in our vocabulary, so I want to define it for you. Beneficence is the doing of good. Active goodness or kindness. Charity. One place I read said that this word goodness that Paul uses here could be simply defined as good works done strictly for the benefit of others. Good works done strictly for the benefit of others. And that's what makes it so supernatural. Because oftentimes when we do our good works, we are secretly thinking, what's in this for me? Or, I hope everybody sees me doing good. You don't get this goodness because you pay your taxes on time, have a pristine lawn, or pay tithes on Sunday. This goodness is born only by the Spirit of God with pure motives, seeking nothing in return. Acts 10:38. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God was with Jesus, the Spirit was in him, and he went around doing good. You know, like the time he set a man free from a legion of demons. We find this story in Mark 5, verses 1 through 20. Here is a man who has cuts all over his body. He's naked. He lives in the tombs. He could not be bound, not even with a chain. This man was completely isolated. He was suffering and being tortured day and night by unclean spirits. This man comes face to face with Jesus. Jesus commands the unclean spirits to come out of him, and he sends them into a herd of, get this, 2,000 pigs. That's a lot of demons. The pigs die. The people get mad. Here's a quick side note. When you value pigs more than you value people, you have a big problem. Well, Clarissa, it was their livelihood. It was their... No. When you value pigs or possessions or anything more than you value people, you have a problem. As children of God, we should value what Jesus values. And guess what Jesus values? He values people. Let's read some of this story. Mark 5, verses 14 through 20. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there, fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. This crowd didn't understand what Jesus had done. Why would you do this? It didn't benefit them, so they wanted Jesus to leave. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him, but Jesus said, no, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed at what he told them. I've read this story many times, and every time I just sit back in awe of it. But this time around, when I was reading it, I noticed something I had never thought about before. This man had been living isolated in a tomb, and he couldn't keep clothes on because he was always cutting himself and coming out of his chains. And there it says, in the middle of these verses, that he was fully clothed and perfectly sane. The question comes, where did he get the clothes? I like to think that Jesus looked to his right and said, "Hey, Peter, you know that new tunic you bought back in Caesarea? Can you get that out of your bag and put it on this man?" And I think that Jesus probably looked to his left and said, "Hey, Matthew, I know you have an extra pair of sandals. You used to be a tax collector. Could you take those off and give them to this man?" When Jesus does a good work for someone, he doesn't just do the big and impossible and extravagant things. He also cares about every little detail. The people didn't know what to do. There he was sitting, not screaming, not lashing out, sitting fully clothed, and as in one version says, in his right mind. The man's response to what Jesus had done for him is one that I completely understand. "Hey, can I go with you? You're the first person who's talked to me like I was a human. You're the first person who's gotten this close to me. You're the first person who's looked me in the eyes in years." Jesus does something so good for this man's benefit. He doesn't just set him free. He gives him back his dignity. And that's what good works done for the benefit of others can give them. Dignity. It's one of the things that I love about our back to school drive. This will be our 9th year giving away uniforms and school supplies to children in our community. And one word that we have consistently used in our communication about this event is the word dignity. A sense of worth. We want kids to be able to walk into their classrooms with their heads held high, with the supplies that they need, and a brand new uniform. We want them to know that they are seen and loved and valued. Dignity. But Jesus doesn't stop there with this man. Jesus also gives him a purpose. He tells him, "Hey, you can't come with me, but this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to commission you to go home, tell your family, tell your friends how much good God has done for you." And I love it because the man doesn't stop there. It says he goes into the 10 towns, what was called the Decapolis, a place made up of where there are a lot of Gentiles, non-Jewish people living, and he begins to proclaim what Jesus has done for him. God was with Jesus. The Spirit was in him. And he went around doing good. Like the time where he sat at a well and spoke to a woman. Pastor Philip shared this story last week, and I want us to revisit it today. We find this story in John chapter 4, verses 1 through 43. We get this story about Jesus and a Samaritan woman at a well. He and the disciples are traveling. They stop in Samaria. Jesus is thirsty. He's tired. And then he asks this strange woman for a drink. She gets a little snarky with him. And then they began this discussion about religion and theology and places of worship. And in the middle of this conversation, Jesus drops a whole bomb. Verses 16 and 18. He says, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." Verses 25 and 26. Then the woman said to Jesus, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." And then Jesus does something so amazing. He says to her, "I who speak to you am he." The woman reveals her true identity to Jesus, and then Jesus reveals his true identity to her. Wow. Jesus speaks some really good words to this woman. He says, "I who speak to you am he." She was probably thinking, "What are you saying? What would someone as good as the Messiah, the Christ, the Holy One of God be doing speaking to me?" I love this story. Jesus doesn't visibly heal this woman. He doesn't lay hands on her and pray for her. He just talks to her. And with his words, he heals her broken heart and removes the veil of shame that she had been wearing. How do we know? Because the woman that's been hiding from everyone runs into town and boldly begins to tell everyone, "Come and see." Here Jesus goes again, restoring this woman's dignity and giving her a purpose. Do you see Jesus showing us how to live? The man who was full of demons needed to be set free. Somebody had to do it. The woman at the well needed to know that it didn't have to be the way it had always been. Somebody had to tell her. And just like Jesus, because we have the same spirit on the inside of us, we get to give people what they really need. And what do people really need? They need to taste and see that the Lord is good. They need to taste and see that the Lord is good. That, my friends, is what the fruit is really for. It's not so that we could walk around and say, "Look at me, look how delicious I am, look how juicy I am." No, it's for the benefit of others. It's the response of the demoniac and the adulteress that really get my attention. Because of Jesus's good work in their life, they each in their own way give God glory. The demoniac becomes a missionary, and the adulteress, because that's exactly what she was if all of her husbands were still alive, or any of her husbands were still alive, this woman becomes an evangelist. Matthew 5:16. "In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Jesus said, "They will see your good works and they will glorify your Father who is in heaven." He doesn't say they will see your light. He says they will actually see what it is that you do. And sometimes I think this is where we miss it. We just want to shine. Post a prayer on Facebook, a scripture or two on Instagram, take the before church selfie, the devotional selfie, Or instead of shining, we just want to straight up blind people with our self-righteousness and judgment and criticism. The goodness that the Holy Spirit produces in our lives is not about us at all. It is for good works that benefit others and bring glory to God. When people benefit from the goodness of God that is on the inside of us, they will see past us and around us and above us, and they will see our Father who is in heaven. This is supernatural goodness, so it produces a supernatural result. People can actually taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, I think that we all know that as believers, we are supposed to live a life of good works. So what keeps us from doing the good works we know we should do? What keeps us from doing good works that benefit others and glorify God? Here's six things, I think, that keep us from doing that. And I'll give you the first three all at once. Write these down. Me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. If we want to be spiritual about it, we could call this our flesh. It's the part of us that only cares about us and wants what it wants, when it wants, as much as it wants. And could really care less if we live a life that benefits others and glorifies God. What about me? What about mine? What do I get out of it? How can I make sure that everyone knows about the good that I've done? You know, doing good works that benefit others, and Jesus shows us this over and over, will require humility, selflessness, sacrifice, time, money, and effort. The next thing that keeps us from doing good works that benefit others and glorify God is sometimes we just believe that people aren't good enough. Do you see value in people? Or do you think thoughts like, well, he's probably homeless because he was on drugs and lazy and, well, if they would just get their stuff together and pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Well, I've never needed anyone to help me, and look where it's gotten me. Where has it gotten us? Prideful? Selfish? Uncaring? Aren't you glad that good enough was not a qualifier for the greatest good work for time and eternity? While you were God's enemy, while I was God's enemy, that's when he died as me for me. That's when he died as you for you. And we will be benefiting from that good deed for the rest of our lives. Me, myself, and I, we don't believe that people are good enough. But here's another one. We believe that we aren't good enough. Maybe you've been listening to me and you think, well, Clarissa, I don't think you understand. I hear you talking about all of this goodness, but I feel like there's only badness on the inside of me. Well, friend, I'm sorry. It's you who doesn't understand. If you are in Christ, the Spirit of Christ is on the inside of you, and you have access to the very goodness of God. And that goodness should not be contained. It should be cultivated and given to the world. Hear me today. God wants to use you. What is seen in Jesus should be seen in us, because what is seen in Jesus is in us. Last but not least, maybe the most dangerous one of all. We don't do good works that benefit others and glorify God because we don't believe that God is good. We don't believe that God is good. What is seen in Jesus should be seen in us. And Jesus said something similar of himself. John 5:19. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. I only do what I see my Father doing. You know, Jesus didn't just see what the Father was doing. He saw who the Father really was. He knew that the Father was good and that all he does is good. And so naturally, Jesus did what he saw the Father doing. I've got a few questions for you. Do you believe that God is good? Do you believe that he does good? Do you believe that God has been good to you? When we don't believe that God is good, we live with closed hands and tight fists. We take care of ourselves and maybe the people under our roof, but we never look out into our world, into our community, to see what good things people need us to do for them. Well, God's not good to me, so why should I be good to anybody else? Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. And he also said something similar of us. John 14:12. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do because I am going to the Father. Wow. We read about all of the good works that Jesus does, and then we get to this verse, and he says, you will be able to do greater things than I have done because I am going to the Father. Maybe you've never heard that verse before, but maybe you have, and you've always marveled at it and thought, that's crazy, that's amazing. But listen to me, that verse is not for us to just marvel at. That verse is for us to act upon. Greater works will you do because I am going to the Father. And when Jesus went to the Father, the Spirit came. And when the Spirit comes, goodness comes. God gets his goodness to us, so he can get his goodness through us. We are supposed to be a flow through center of God's goodness. It's not just about us being good. It's about us doing good works that benefit others and glorify God. Good works for the undeserving. Good works for the hurting. Good works for the poor, for those who are suffering, for your friend, for your neighbor, for your family member, and yes, even for those who hate you. But Clarissa, you're almost done, and you didn't tell us what to do. You're right. I didn't. Because you already know what to do. For the classroom that needs uniforms here in Bossier City, for the lonely and mean coworker that you share an office with, for the family member that's in financial trouble, for the single mom in need of one night of peace and quiet, for the foster kid that needs a home, for the elderly widow on your street, we know what to do. I think Jesus would make sure the children had some new uniforms, don't you? I think Jesus would help the family member out and not give them a lecture on finances. I think Jesus would babysit the kid so the single mom could have one night of peace and quiet. I think Jesus would knock on that elderly widow's door and offer help and a listening ear. You know what to do. Let them, through you, taste and see that the Lord is good. We've been ending all of our messages in this year of application with a lead acrostic. We said that we don't just want to hear the word this year. We want to actually do the word. We want to live it out. So here's what we can learn from this week's message. The goodness in us should benefit others and glorify God. What questions can we be asking ourselves after this message? Am I allowing God's goodness to flow through me to others on a daily basis? And if not, what is keeping me from doing good works? Here's our application for this week, our challenge for this week. And you have 7 days to do it. Do 2 good deeds this week that benefit others. Just 2. One for a family member or friend in need, and one for someone in our community in need. Something simple that you could do even today. You could sponsor a child for back to school, or a family, or even a whole classroom. And then the D is always the same. Once you get into this habit of doing good works that benefit others and glorify God, how about you keep doing it again and again and again? You know, I could have wrote a message, 5 things you can do to get God's goodness into you. But hear me today. That's not your job. He's the vine. You're the branch. Abide in Jesus. Stay connected to Jesus. Recognize and receive all of the goodness that he brings into your life, and then do something with the goodness you have received. We have the same spirit as Jesus. We have the same power as Jesus. So we can produce the same fruit as Jesus. People need to taste and see that the Lord is good. And he wants to use you to show them that that's true. I want to pray for you. Maybe you've been listening to all of this and you've been thinking, man, I'm just not good enough. How could God use me? And maybe you're thinking that because you've never really decided to follow Jesus. Maybe the Spirit of Christ is not in you. I want to pray for you today. And then I want to commission you the way Jesus commissioned the man to go and do good works. Repeat this prayer after me. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you are the Son of God, and that you are alive today. Forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to do good works this week. In Jesus' name. And maybe you're listening to this and you're like, listen, I've been following Jesus my whole life, but I do have trouble seeing past myself and doing good works that benefit others and glorify God. Maybe I hit on something today and you really struggle to believe that God is good, and that's why you don't go around doing good for others. I want to pray for you. Father, we believe that you are good. We want to be like Jesus. He only did what he saw you do because he knew who you were. And we want to do the same thing. We want to do the greater works that Jesus promised that we would do. Thank you for your Spirit that empowers us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to do good works everywhere we go. Help us this week to do what we know to do so that you can get the glory and other people can know you as Father and Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I hope that this message blessed you, and I hope that you will take what you've learned this week and put it into action. We'll see you back here next week for our message on faithfulness.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.